Marshall against the City of Chicago. Mr. Flaxman.
May it please the court. This case provides the court with an opportunity to make a statement about whether the appearance of fairness is important in our civil justice system. The veneer that was brought up to hear Mr. Marshall's trial was 20 people. There were three African Americans. The random selection of veneer persons to make up the jury went through 14 prospective jurors, had 8 people, and we had none of the African Americans were selected. We're not saying that's discriminatory, or we're not saying that's impossible, or that it was fixed. That's
suppose this had happened the other way around. Suppose this veneer had an unusually high number of blacks for a Northern District of Illinois veneer, and 8 jurors had been picked, and 5 of them were black, and 3 of them were white. Would one of the parties be entitled to ask the judge to increase it to, say, 12 in order to get more whites and make it more like the district?
Absolutely. I have no problem with the jury representing.
All right. So you then have a racial balance requirement for juries, and that's not what the statute says.
Well, we don't have a racial balance. We're not saying we were entitled to get some of those 3 people on. What we're saying is that when we had 8 jurors picked, we had 6 left, we could increase the size of a jury by 2. We had an 80% chance of getting one of those African Americans on the jury. If we didn't get that, that was it. Game over, we would go.
But the thing is, you know, you started out with fairness, and it seems to me that when you have a system, I mean, I take it you're not attacking the fundamentals of the way the Northern District of Illinois handles juries. So you have a system in which it's, you know, the collection of possible jurors is fine, and there are random numbers assigned. So the fact that it happened to be white people coming up and not one of those 3 was absolute function of chance. Nobody knew what was going to happen. The law of large numbers says, even though it's not going to happen often, that it'll be the white people. In about 2% of the cases, it'll work out that way. And that's just how it works out. And the fair way over the long run is to let the random system work, not to jigger around with each jury to get proportional.
Except we're not jiggling around with the jury. We're saying...
Yes, you are. You're saying make it too
bigger.
Exactly
what you want to do.
No, we're saying that if we accept what the advisory committee said, that it doesn't make any difference whether it's 8, 10, or 12, let's have a jury of 10. And the city said, we would be prejudiced by having a jury of 10. And I think the city, I'm sure, will explain to you in their argument how having 10 people on the jury when they had 2 peremptory challenges left to pick those 2 other prospective jurors would have prejudiced them at all.
But it
would
have made change it. There had been a stipulation for an 8-person jury, as I understand it, or the pretrial order, however it comes up. There had been an agreement. And the city didn't want to change that agreement. I don't disagree that if the 2 parties had sat down and said, you know what, in this case we should really have a 10-person jury, the court made it clear it would have gone along with that. But there are 8-person juries all the time in the Northern District of Illinois.
And we're not saying there's anything wrong with that, but we're saying that when we have 6 veneer people left, it'll take 5 minutes to get a jury of 10 rather than 8. We had not agreed to it. We had jointly recommended that there be 8. And the judge could have said, let's have 10. Let's see what happens with 2 more. What difference would it have made
to
anybody?
But you're assuming he errs by not doing that. I don't know that he would have made a mistake if he had done that, but I don't see where the reversible error is.
If he had said, it'll take too much time to pick 2 more jurors, we'll have to get another panel up, that would have been an exercise of discretion. If he had said, we only have 1 juror left, we're not going to do that, it'll take too long, then it would be an exercise of discretion. But the judge said, well, if the city says it's okay, then I'll do it. He was abdicating his decision-making to the city. And the city, I think, when they get up here, will tell you in great detail how having 10 people on the jury would have hurt their trial strategy. And
they may not get to that. Anyway, we'll see what they say.
Mr. Flaxman, remind me of how did the assignment of who's first and who's, how's the ranking of those jurors come about?
The clerk put them, gave up a list of numbering them 1 through 20. We assume it's random. We're not challenging the way that...
Well, no, I know you're not challenging, but I'm curious of how the Northern District of Illinois, at least this judge did.
The clerk in the courtroom who's calling the names is given a list by the jury people, which is randomly selected. Supposedly randomly selected. Not an issue.
But it just came up that way, and
that's right. And we agree, we accept the law of large numbers, but we also accept that if it makes no difference between having 8 or 10 or 12, it'll take another 5 minutes to have 10. We have the appearance of fairness by having a shot. We have 8 people going into the jury who are going to think, why are there only white people here? We had 3 people. Well, why do only white people get called? It's everybody, I think, profits from having a diversity of people in the jury. And it's there's no reason not to have 10, except I think, I'm sure we'll hear from the city about how they would have lost the case if there were 10 jurors rather than 8.
We'll see what they have to say. Why don't you save a little bit of time for rebuttal,
and
we'll hear from Mr. Collins.
May it please the Court. I would like to begin briefly with a discussion of the District Court's decision not to strike Jurors Olson for cause. Ms. Olson explained during voir dire that she understood her son's parole terms to mean that she could not have a gun in her house while her son lived with her. That belief was not material to the issue in Mr. Marshall's case, which was whether the police had probable cause to believe that he was in constructive possession of a firearm.
Did the instructions explain that various different people have different conditions of release and constructive possession? I believe it did talk about constructive possession.
Yes, Your Honor. The instructions did address constructive possession, and that was the issue.
Did the judge also say anything at all to say that just because A has one set of conditions of parole or supervised release or what have you, B may have a different set?
No, Your Honor. And parole was not an issue for the jury to decide. It was constructive possession.
No, I understand that. I'm talking about the comparison between Ms. Olson's experience with her son, where she thought there was just an absolute no-gun rule, and whatever she might have carried over to this case about whether guns were pertinent. If somebody had said everybody's parole is different, she could have easily discarded any relevance of her own prior experience.
Sure. And Ms. Olson's prior experience also was limited to her son. She didn't speak universally to what she thought every person's parole terms are or should be. And even if there were overlap between Ms. Olson's belief and the issue at trial, there was no reason to dismiss her for cause because she stated unequivocally that she could set aside her prior experiences, and the district court believed that those unequivocal reassurances. Now I'd like to discuss the size of the jury issue. The parties agreed in the pretrial order to a jury of 8, and after 7 jurors were impaneled, Mr. Marshall asked the court to increase the size of the jury from 8 people to 10. The city objected, and after the district court heard arguments from both sides, the court denied Mr. Marshall's motion. And this was not an abuse of discretion for 2 reasons. First, to have changed the size of the jury at that point in the proceedings would have unfairly prejudiced the defendants, who undertook jury selection with the understanding that the jury would consist of 8 people and not 10. Second, for the court to make a race-conscious decision to increase the size of the jury, that would have violated Batson. And so plainly the district court did not abuse its discretion in...
Well, it depends on what you mean by a race-conscious decision. Suppose a district judge says, I see 12-person juries in all of my civil cases because I think it's more likely that they will be representative, that the effect of randomness in selection will be diluted. Do you think that would be a problem?
No, I don't think it would be a problem for a court to say, as a general rule, I will have a jury of 12 to obtain
Your concern is making a decision to jigger the jury size after it's been set.
Correct, Your Honor. So the district,
and presumably the city would never ask for an increase in the jury size in order to dilute an unusually large number of blacks who were seated.
Of course, Your Honor.
We do have your representation. The city will, of course, never ask for that.
So what's wrong with the judge saying, you know, I'm a relatively newcomer to this bench, and it hadn't occurred to me before this moment that having an eight-person jury is going to reduce the chances that I really have a good representative cross-section of the Northern District of Illinois. So I'm going to expand this one to 10. And henceforth, you know, we'll have 10-person juries. Anything wrong with that?
Well, if the court's going to make that decision, it should have made it before voir dire began.
You know, I'm saying that the light dawns on him in the middle of this.
Made a tougher case up here, wouldn't it?
Well, by the time the objection or the motion was made in this case, the jury was almost entirely filled.
So are you saying, what exactly, I mean, was the city's set of decisions about the use of its peremptories affected? I mean, how exactly did the city rely?
Correct. The city had used one of its peremptories by the time.
Still had two more.
Correct. If the city knew going into jury selection that the jury would consist of 10 people and not 8, it might not have used that peremptory on the person that it used the peremptory on. It might have preserved it for future potential jurors, knowing that there would be 8 spots to fill instead of 10. And so that's where the prejudice lies.
10 rather than 8, yeah, right.
Right, mm-hmm. Correct. So for these reasons, the judgment of the district court should be affirmed.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Flaxman?
No.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to all counsel. We will take the case under advisement, and the court will be in recess.